This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:06, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. This week, we are pleased to feature Montgomery County Clerk and Recorder, Sandy Lighthizer.
Good morning, Tobin.
It must be a busy time for you.
I think it is a little bit.
I think election's coming up.
Right.
Every other ad we have here, election. So, that's coming up. We're going to talk about that. But first, we got to pay some bills. We'll be right back.
At Plummer Funeral Home, it is our mission to provide the families of this area with caring, compassionate, and professional funeral services, and to assist them as they celebrate the life of the loved one they have lost. At Plummer Funeral Home, we provide families of all faiths and cultures with respect, compassion, and comfort as they mourn for their loved ones and come to terms with their loss. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show. Our guest this week, Montgomery County Clerk and Recorder, Sandy Lighthizer. Sandy, welcome back, my friend.
Great to be here, Tobin. Thanks for having me.
First off, before we get talking about the election and the fun time for you and your staff at the historic courthouse, you and your band, Scrap Iron and Gold, were part of a neat event last Saturday where we had remains of, 14 people that who were never claimed, finally got a committal service out at Oak Grove Cemetery.
Yes.
Go back on this. How did this all come about?
Well, thank you. And it was just an honor to be a part of this entire process. And I just am thankful that we had such support throughout everything. It basically started when Montgomery County Coroner Rick Broaddus was at his budget hearing. I wasn't in attendance at that meeting, but I understand he appealed to the county board, a finance committee, about these remains that he had in his possession, a total of 14 remains, cremation remains, as a result of Graham Correctional Center. And his dilemma was he wanted to provide a proper burial mm-hmm. or committal for these remains, and they were cases where family was attempted to be contacted. No one came forward. Unfortunately, these individuals...
And that's a bad situation when
yes.
family, doesn't even care. I mean,
right. Yes. It's sad. So sad. And I'm sorry to say a statement on our society today, mm-hmm. I would think. But he had the assistance of Huff Funeral Home to provide the funeral services as far as the cremations are concerned, but then has been basically keeping these in his possession in his office for a period of, I think, dating back to 2006.
Wow.
And, yeah. And Graham Correctional, as we research this, some state penitentiaries have even small cemeteries mm-hmm. as part of their grounds. And when these situations occur, that's how they handle it.
Right.
But that wasn't the case with Graham. There is no such cemetery area. And so Mary Bathurst, I super really want to commend her for all her efforts, because as she heard Rick's appeal, she really took it to heart mm-hmm. and said, we need to do something, and then reached out to various folks, Terry Plummer being, mm-hmm. first and foremost,
I think
as
I've
a funeral
heard of
director.
Him.
Yes, I think you have. Right, right.
I think I have.
And certainly, like a lot of all our local funeral directors, mm-hmm. an expert as to how to handle situations like this. So he checked, and with the potential of family coming forward, and we hope that does happen, mm-hmm. say, in the decades, coming forward, to bury these remains really wasn't in the best interest financially to do
right.
so. So his contact suggested a mausoleum, mm-hmm. and then immediately Oak Grove Cemetery in Hillsborough came to mind. Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful mausoleum there dating back to 1913. Have you been inside?
It's been a long time since I've been out there.
It is so beautiful in there.
Okay.
It is just gorgeous and just such a peaceful environment.
Mm-hmm.
So contact was made to Oak Grove, and we appreciate John Stretch and Jeff Dunn and Don Kleinert and all the individuals there from Oak Grove, Mark Noyes as well,
mm-hmm.
That consented to allow these remains to be interred there. And so we had a little service to put them to rest, and I was so thankful. My group, Scrap Iron and Gold, a bluegrass gospel group, that we go out and you know, people may not know this, but we play music, and I think we get more entertained by it than the people we play for. But
Heck, Mickey Robinson booked you twice.
That's
this summer
true.
Concert series.
That's right. He did. Yeah, and that whole group is the vision of Ron Lawrence, who's put us together. And but we've got wonderful members. Are Andy Ritchie from Litchfield, Ron Lawrence from Litchfield,
Brenda. Andy, who's now sporting a goatee now.
Yes.
What's up with that?
I don't know. Yep, that's what he's doing.
He leaves the city and he grows a goatee.
right, there you go. And Brenda Oberle from Schramm City, Sandra Stallman from Litchfield, Doug Glenn from Litchfield, Rick Calvert from Hillsboro, myself. If we see causes that, you know, we feel like, hey, we can plug in a need, we try to do so. And that's what basically happened with this. When we heard that there was a need and there was a cost involved, you know, we wanted to be a part of it. Andy has a prison ministry he does, and Ron and Rick are employees at Graham. So, everything came together.
And then this is a sign of multiple entities working together, because you have Oak Grove Cemetery Board that you have to go through to even get access into the mausoleum.
Right.
Mary Bathurst with the county to provide financing to do such a thing.
Yes.
The funeral homes and everything. I mean, everyone came together on this one.
They really did. They really did. I was so proud of the whole process. And of course, I look at that and I think, well, what? Maybe we can do that with other things. Let's all work together.
Absolutely.
And if we accomplish this, no telling what we could do as we all work together. But these 14 individuals, two of which were veterans. The average age was 52 years old at the time of their death. They now have a proper place of rest, so we're thankful for that.
Outstanding job, and I wanted to bring that up while you were here because I thought that was a cool thing and outstanding
job.
Well,
thank you. Just glad to be a small part of it.
And
let's
continue on. It is a busy time for you and your staff. That thing called an election is like tomorrow.
It seems like it at times, right? But it is Tuesday, November 4th, 2014, and this is a larger election, Tobin, a general election where we elect federal and state, county, judicial officers, as well as there's several public questions on the ballot this time, five of which are at the state level. And we have a sixth question that involves the North Macoupin School District a proposal to change from a sub-district to an at-large school board membership.
And what does that do? Just basically allows them open area, right?
Correct.
Basically for the members?
Right. So all their board members can be elected from the entire district versus from a sub-district.
Looking at the ballot here, a lot of interesting topics are on the ballot. Number one would be the minimum wage, and we need to clarify this, that if the yeses pass this, that doesn't mean your salary from $8.25 an hour is going to go up to $10. No, this is just an advisory referendum for our lawmakers in Springfield to hash out and say, okay, the voters want this, and then it's their due diligence to make it happen.
You are correct. Yes, purely advisory. This is basically a poll that has been placed on the ballot as a result of the legislature, and it is one of three advisory questions that we'll see at the statewide level. As you said, minimum wage increased to $10 an hour, the second being an additional 3% tax on income greater than $1 million, and then a third and final advisory question that involves health insurance coverage for prescription birth control.
Okay, and that third one's kind of an interesting one, but with Obamacare or the health care law and that, it needs to be brought up because there's a lot of questions about that. So, and then this is a time county board. We've got quite a few contested races for the county board this year.
That is correct. Yes. Of our seven county board districts, we have five that are contested at this election.
And that the contested ones would be what? County Board District 6, which is in Hillsboro.
Right. District 2. District 3, District 4, District 5, and District 6.
Okay, so all around the gamut. And let's talk about it right now. Early voting is ongoing right now. It's at a new location. It's in the basement of the historic courthouse.
Right, right. And actually, you know, we have an interesting dynamic in our county because of our population at 30,000. We fit the criteria under the law of a temporary voting site. So what that actually does, we are technically in the absentee voting period now, okay, but the equivalent is early voting as well. So just as you stated, many of our folks just say, hey, I'm voting early, I'm coming in for early voting.
Right.
But yet during the early voting period under statute, that will begin next Monday, October 20th, and extend through Saturday, November 1st in our county at noon. We are required to do an extra little ad in the newspapers that really promote it, and so folks maybe have, you know, pay more attention to that specific period. But in our county, absentee voting and early voting are interchangeable by definition.
And of course, the new location downstairs. You were talking about this yesterday at the county board meeting. It's been well received and doing well.
Yes, very much so. Yes, exactly. And we want voters to know, they maybe haven't experienced our new little polling place in the basement of the historic courthouse. You can go directly there by using our west entrance. Just look for the signs outside that say, you know, vote here, and also say accessible voting, accessible entrance, because we want you to avoid our steps if possible, and just come right in there. And
some of them are a little slanted than others.
Right. I mean, we love our building, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But certainly we've got an excellent location. I do thank the county board for making that space available for us, because voters can quickly go in. We have an actual polling place there for them, and versus being in our office, which, you know, kind of, it wasn't the best environment, but we all made the best of it. And so, but now we've got that polling place in the basement, and folks can get in and out very easily.
And of course, that's got to, you mentioned your office, because that's where it used to be. It's got to provide ample space now for your office,
right,
for breathing room.
Exactly. It does. Yes, we're thankful for that. In fact, with the timing this time, we have our annual...
Was that the main reason for the change? Just to provide a little bit more space for you in your office?
Well, it was more voter-driven because we did have folks, you know, especially our senior citizens, that needed to get in and out of the building in a much easier fashion. And so the thought came up, let's get that basement level open where, you know, they can avoid steps. The parking is right there, certainly with our ADA parking that we provide. So,
and that entrance is traditionally the handicap entrance to the historic courthouse.
You are correct. Okay. Yes, it is.
And then what was it? We had over 500 ballots requested, over 100 voted so far.
Right. Yes. In fact, I ran a fresh report this morning before coming out here.
Gotta love fresh numbers.
Yes.
Where we
fresh
at?
Numbers right now, as of I can't say this moment. As of 7:30 this morning, we had 551 voters that have either requested or voted a ballot or voted a ballot. Of those, 129 have voted in person, and 422 have requested a ballot by mail.
And, of course, one of the big changes this year, and you and I have kind of talked about this, is voter registration can go all the way up to the Monday before the election, correct?
Right. And actually, it does now involve Election Day somewhat. And I'm glad you're bringing that up, Tobin, because we do have a new law in place that requires us to offer Election Day grace period provisional voting. So that it basically, the listeners may have heard about same-day voter registration. And how this will work, basically it only involves the county clerk's office at the historic courthouse on Election Day. It will not involve the polling places.
Okay.
So if a voter goes to vote at one of our 24 polling place locations and the judges can't find them on the rolls, they can't solve the concern that they have as they seek to vote, the voter can come to our office. They would need to provide proper identification, photo ID, proof of address, so forth, and then we would then require them to vote provisionally, where mm-hmm. basically they would get the same ballot as everyone else, but right. instead of the ballot going into the tabulator, it would go in a special envelope, and I would have a 14-day window after the election to process those ballots.
Also something new, and correct me if I'm wrong, online registration, they can now go online to register to vote, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, yes, through the State Board of Elections website, and we have a link to that on our county website, and we've seen, I'd say, up to maybe we've hit 10 so far in our county, but it's very fresh
right.
information. And we are excited about that, and we are hopeful it works, because the voters, as they go online seeking to register, would need to follow specific steps.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a match that's done between what the voter enters and to the state Secretary of State driver's facilities
right.
Database. So they basically register and are confirmed as being valid through the driver's license or legal photo ID they have.
Is this a sign, and you and I have talked about this the past, what, four elections, is this a sign of the times that maybe, because you and I both know, voter registration, you're out trying to get people to come in to vote,
mm-hmm.
to make it online? I mean, you've got your Social Security number.
Yeah.
You're dealing with the state. They could make that sucker secure enough that no one can break through.
See, you know, this is where
I'm gonna, if this all works,
right.
are we heading that
well,
way?
Well, it's remains
possible?
To be seen
okay.
if this works, okay? And I know I'm still at the point where we're going to agree to disagree, Tobin,
okay.
because in the, you know, the climate that we have,
right.
in fact, another hat I wear is our county emergency public information officer,
mm-hmm.
and you may be aware October is cybersecurity month,
mm-hmm.
Because there, you know, there is so much out there in regards
oh,
to
absolutely.
Hacking at the computer level, and, you know, it's the trust still is
people
not
pay their
there.
Taxes online.
They do. They
I mean,
can't. They can't.
I mean,
I know.
I know. I mean, but it just seems like it's leaning. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
I hear you.
But if everything is clean
mm-hmm.
and this works out, it could happen.
Right. The key word is if.
If. Right.
And voting is so sacred.
I
mean,
know.
We, you know, our leadership is chosen by this process
I'm
to where we have to have, you
and
know, the tabulation
like,
be accurate.
And some people like going into that booth and filling out the ovals
right.
and casting their own ballot. It's just like opening up your mail and getting your refund check. And
right.
it says the U.S. Department of Treasury on it. There's something
right.
about that.
That's true. That's
you
true.
Know?
Yes, yes.
You know.
In fact, I was reading online a comparison of all the various voting systems recently, and
mm-hmm.
still that's coming out on top, given where we're at,
ballot,
is optical
paper.
Scan yeah. paper ballot system, the system that we have. Because we are mirroring the paper ballot with a technological system, a
and
scanner.
You've had experience with the optical. I mean, you've had what? Let's see, what, three elections that were I mean, that they wanted to recount.
Right.
That
mm-hmm.
was close. You even had mm-hmm. one tie that ended
yes.
up in a coin flip.
Coin flip.
And whatever, if the poll says 901 to 900, it comes out exactly the way it's supposed. What
right.
it says.
Yes.
I mean, it's.
Yeah, we're very pleased with the system, and I hear great feedback from the voters, and I'd welcome feedback from your listeners as to how they feel about, you know, changing voting systems or the voting system we have today.
Right, and mm-hmm. and that, I mean, but the optical scan, that's close to 100% as you can possibly get, isn't it?
Yes, we do feel like it is very, very trusted, and of course, everything's tested diligently before Election Day, so we have super confidence.
The other thing we want to mention on Election Day, they can go up to the historic courthouse, watch the votes come in, or for those who like to play at home, they can go on the county's website and keep track of that. And that is a neat feature that you guys have done a tremendous job on.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, and that website, www.montgomeryco.com. Okay, so we'd want everyone to have that handy, and I appreciate your endorsement of that, Tobin, especially given your level on election night. You have a lot of
mm-hmm.
different media sources to be in touch with and government sources as well. So, and I thank Bill Purcell on this, our county IT guy. I say this every time you and I get together, but this is provided at no cost to the county because of the system that he has that we are allowed to upload basically, you know, after each precinct comes in once things are verified. So it's almost instantaneously.
And to prove that point, there are several, Christian County, which is another county that I cover, they have their own company that they
yes.
deal with that deals with multiple counties on election night. Not here.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know how Bill came up with the system, yeah. but it works.
Yes, it very, very much does. Yes, you're right. And other counties have to pay vendors for it, and we don't. So thanks to Bill.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome job. And the historic courthouse will probably be open around 6:30, 6
That's
around
correct.
There.
Yes, we will. And we'd welcome anyone to come up on the second floor of our courthouse in the county boardroom. We will have an overhead projector and our website providing all the results as they come in, and certainly customized precinct reports if anyone would like those as well.
Traditionally, this election, the general election that we're coming up with, voter turnout normally in this county, how does it normally fare?
Not bad. Of course, I'd always like to see more, mm-hmm. you know. But traditionally, we've had 55% turnout. I would say it would be maybe a good range here. I'm looking at the last election of this type held November 2nd of 2010. In November of 2012, the presidential election, we had 67% turnout. So, it's healthy. We would always want more to come out, and we just encourage participation because democracy is where it's at.
Absolutely, and we got 90 seconds left on the program, Scrap Iron and Gold. And I know you had a successful summer. You did 2 tours of the summer concert series in Benilde, but you guys are always out and about.
Yes, that's right. The group's in Mount Olive coming up this upcoming weekend. And feel free, folks, if they're interested. Usually our local media, and we appreciate WSMI promoting our engagements as well. And it's just a neat group, and I'm just blessed to be a part of it.
All right. Sandy, it's always a pleasure. Best of luck on the upcoming election. And, of course, anyone having comments or questions, they could always call you at the clerk and recorder's office.
Yes.
And that number again?
217-532-9530.
All right. And that's going to do it for the Wednesday Talk Show. Our guest this week, Montgomery County Clerk and Recorder, Sandy Lighthizer. Coming up next week on the program, Rhonda Jergeny will be here talking about electronics and also a big veterans parade that's coming up in Litchfield. And I think they're talking about a sauerbraten dinner at the Zion Lutheran Church in Litchfield. So it's getting that time. Yeah, it's getting that time. So stay tuned for that. Until then, we'll talk to you next week. So long.